ఓం వివేక చూడమణి శ్లోక 109 సన్నాప్యస్య రూపా. Sో ఆఫ్టర్ డిస్కసింగ్ ది స్థూల శరీరం అండ్ సూక్ష్మ శరీరం, నౌ ది ఆచార్య ఈస్ డిస్కసింగ్ ది కారణ శరీరం టాపిక్. That is the third and the final part of Anatma discussion. And we talked about the different features of the Karana Shariram in the last webinar. The first one, it is called as Avyaktam. And another name for the Karana Shariram was Shaktihi. And the third name is Avidya. And the fourth name, Trigunatmika. And the fifth name is Maya. So all these are significant names, all these five, revealing its specific feature, the Maya, Karana Sharira. And the Acharya also said that Maya is never Pratyaksha Gocharam, never visible, but has to be only inferred from its products, namely the entire creation. So, through perceptible creation, the imperceptible Maya has to be only inferred. And up to this we discussed in the last webinar. And there we said, the Acharya will define Maya in the next shloka, which is given in the shloka that we just read. The significance of the word Maya is given in the shloka. Maya means logically inexplicable or logically uncategorizable. Therefore, it is always incomprehensible for the intellect, because intellect always has to comprehend anything through logical division only. It has to clearly divide something to their nature. This nature or that nature, and then finally has to comprehend. That is why if they want to understand creation, they split it into different parts and analyze their features, and only after that analysis they can understand creation. But Maya is not available for that logical division or categorization. At the same time, it is clearly experienceable in the form of this creation. And so what will be the definition of Maya will be what is experienced but cannot be explained is called Maya. The nearest example one can think of for Maya is any magic show. In the magic show, we experience extraordinary things, but we cannot explain them. So every magic show is Maya, and the greatest magician is the Lord himself. Maya viva vijrambayatyapi mahayogi vayaswechaya. In Dakshinamurti Stotram, Tasmai Shri Gurumurtaye Namagidam Sri Dakshinamurtaye. That is where Maya viva, like a Mayavi, like a magician. Now in this shloka 109, Shankaracharya says, why Maya is not logically categorizable. It's a very beautiful and important shloka, very often quoted to define Maya. So now Shankaracharya asks the question, can Maya be called Sat? Sat means existent. Can we call Maya as existent principle? Or Asat, non-existent? Or Sadasat, a mixture of both, Sat and Asat? Can we call Maya any of these? Can we put Maya in any of these three categories? That is the question. And Shankaracharya says, you cannot categorize Maya in any one of these categories, because if Maya is called Sat, then what will be it will be equal to? It will be equal to Brahman. There will be no difference, and Maya will be another name for Brahman. Since Sat is Brahman, Maya cannot be called Sat. If it is Asat, for example, non-existent, that also is not possible, because non-existent Maya cannot be the cause of creation. Then can we say Brahman is the cause of creation? Pure Brahman, Sat, is neither cause nor effect. We already saw all the characteristics earlier about Brahman. It is Karya Karana Atitam. It is beyond Karya and Karana. So if Brahman is not the cause of creation, which is called Maya, and if Maya is Asat, that Asat Maya can never become the cause of creation. Because Maya is Asat, it is non-existent, according to that definition. So the logic is Maya is not Sat, since Brahman alone is Sat, and Maya is not Asat, since it cannot produce the material creation. Then can't we call it a mixture, Sat Asat? Shankaracharya says no, because Sat and Asat are totally opposite in nature and so never can be combined. Just as light and darkness cannot be combined, opposite attributes cannot coexist. We cannot say one is tall and sharp together. A person is both fat and lean. Who is fair and dark? We cannot say that. They are mutually exclusive attributes and they cannot coexist. So Maya cannot have the attributes of Sat and Asat. Then can we say Maya is not there at all? No, we cannot say that also, because we experience it all the time. Therefore, we have to accept Maya but cannot be intellectually classified. Therefore, the nearest definition given in the Shastra is what? Sat Asat Vilakshana Maya. Not Sat Asat mixture, but it's Sat Asat Vilakshanam. Vilakshanam, distinct from Sat or Asat. In fact, it is distinct from the Sat Asat mixture also. Therefore, the Acharya says, Sannapya 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 Ubayatmikova. How to split this actually? Sat na api, sannapya, sat na api, asat na api, ubayatmika na. That is how we should split the sentence. It is neither existent sat na api, asat na api. Asat means non-existent, and ubayatmika na, mixture. So it cannot be Sat, Asat or both, mixture. The nearest English translation could be, it is seemingly existent. It is really not existent. It is not non-existent. It is not mixture. It is seemingly existent. Then what is the next categorization possible if it is seemingly existent in this way? So once you talk about Brahman and Maya, then the next question will be, is Maya identical with Brahman? Or different from Brahman? Or is Maya both identical and different? These are the three possibilities. Shankaracharya says, this classification also is not possible. In fact, intellect has to classify. For example, when I talk about water and jalam, we know they are identical. And if I say water and cup, we understand they are different. But in the case of Maya and Brahman, we cannot classify them that way. Then can we say it is a mixture? It is also not possible, because identity and difference are opposite attributes, mutually exclusive. So they cannot coexist. Why you cannot categorize like that? In Vedanta, we logically prove how Maya is illogical. That's what we do in Vedanta. We logically prove how Maya is illogical. How? That is the beauty. Suppose we say Maya is identical with Brahman. Then Maya also will become Chetana Tattvam and cannot account for the Jada creation of the Jada universe. The universe is Jada Tattvam. So we cannot talk about Maya as Chetana Tattvam, because then we cannot account for the Jada creation of the Jada universe. Because Maya principle being Jada Tattvam, what is the definition of Maya then? The whole world in potential form. That's what we said. So it is material in nature. Maya is material in nature. So the material Maya cannot be identical with Brahman, which is Chetanam. So identity is not possible, number one. then can we say that Maya is different from Brahman? This also Shankaracharya. Actually, this is what the Sankhya philosophers, they did. What they did? They said Maya is a separate entity, matter principle, and Brahman is a separate entity, the consciousness principle. And why can't we have two separate entities? Just as, for example, we have father, a separate entity, we have mother, another entity. So similarly, between Brahman and Maya, one is Chetana Tattvam, another is Achetana Tattvam, why cannot be accepted? Shankaracharya says that also is not possible. Maya cannot be accepted as a different entity because if Brahman and Maya are two separate entities, each one will limit the other. The limitation of Maya will limit Brahman and vice versa. Then we may say, so what? Then the word Brahman will become meaningless. Brahman means what? Infinite. By that we mean Sajatiya, Vijatiya, Swagata Bedaha, Swagata Beda Rahitam Brahma. So Brahma is supposed to be without the Sajatiya, Vijatiya, Swagata Bedas. We will explain what they are. Scriptures, they define Brahman as that which does not have any type of differences, Bedas. And the Bedas are categorized into three types. One is called Sajatiya Beda. Beda belonging to the same class. Like for example, man and man Beda. A woman and woman, both belong to the same class. Differences between them. And second category is called Vijatiya Beda. A Beda belonging to different classes. For example, man and a table. Man and some computer. And the third difference, Beda, is Swagata Beda. A Beda in the form of internal differences. For example, a man and his hand. Man is the total and hand is a part of the man. This internal division, that is called the Swagata Beda. So the scriptures clearly define Brahman as Sajatiya, Vijatiya, Swagata, Beda, Rahitam. That means Maya cannot be a second entity different from Brahman. In fact, the word Advaitam with respect to Brahman will be then meaningless. Chandogya Upanishad says, Ekam Eva Advitiyam. Three words it put. Brahman is Ekam Eva Advitiyam. There is only one, there is no two at all. Therefore, Maya cannot be separate, it cannot be identical. Then if you say it is both, that is also not possible because they are opposite attributes, mutually exclusive, so cannot coexist. So then what is Maya? Binnapina, we are now looking at the next one in the sloka. So binnapina, abinnapina, ubayatmakapi na. Binnapina means what? Different from Brahman, it is not. Abinnapi, identical with Brahman, it is not. Ubayatmika, a mixture of both, it is not. So how do we define Maya now? Binnabinna vilakshanam Maya. Binna, abhinna, vilakshanam, maya. If you want to understand from a common example, then we will ask the question, is wave different from water or identical with water? Now, if you answer the question, they are identical, then I will say, wherever the word wave is used, we should be able to use the word water. That means, whenever I am thirsty, I will say, bring a glass of wave. Then people might think I am nuts. So if we say they are different, then I will say, bring some wave without water. So it is Beda, Abeda, Vilakshanam. We cannot say it is both because they are opposite attributes. So Binnapina, Abhinnapina and Ubayatmikabi na. And if you get confused, actually that is good. Because that is how Maya is understood as confusion only. That is, intellectually, one cannot categorize that. Then what is the another possibility? Shankaracharya says, if Maya is with parts or without parts, for example, our body, there are so many parts are there. In Sanskrit, we call a part as Angam or Avayavam. That's the name we call for a part. So the body is endowed with angam, that is called sangam. The body endowed with angam is called sangam. Sa means endowed with. And what is the opposite of that? Anangam, without division of parts, like akasha. Akasha, no division of parts. It has no head, no hand, no leg and all that. Akasha, the space. So, and Brahman also is defined as anangam. That is why they use another word, nishkalam. For Brahman, they use another word called nishkalam. Opposite of shakalam. Sakalam means sangam. Sangam means saavayavam. Similarly, nishkalam is nirangam. Niravayavam. Nishkalam is nirangam, niravayavam. No parts. Now, the question Shankaracharya asks is, which category the Maya will belong to? Is it Sangha category or Ananga category or Mishram both? He says none of these again. It is na Sangha. It is not endowed with parts. Ananga api na. It is not without parts also. And Ubayatmika no. It is not mixture of both also. Actually, these topics are very elaborately discussed in the Brahma Sutras. We are only giving a very, very cursory discussion here. Very elaborate discussions are done in the Brahma Sutras, where different systems of philosophy talk about cosmology or origin of the universe. There only every philosophy gets into problem. Like modern science, for example, they are trying to find out the cause of the universe. Any theory they put forth, they all have limitations. Vedantin, he is very happy when he sees all this, because the more they get into trouble, Vedantin is happy because he knows very well, however much you try, you cannot comprehend. We just will give only a clue and not discuss the entire topic here, because it is discussed very well in Brahma Sutras so much. So we will say, why Maya is not with or without part or mixture of them also? The reason is what? Whatever has got parts is called an assembly or an assemblage, is an assembled product. For example, you can buy so many parts to make a computer and assemble a computer. That is an assemblage, an assembled product. And any product, moment we call it a product, that product should have a beginning. Then we might ask, why, so what? If Maya has parts, then it will be a product. And so should have a beginning. Whereas the scriptures, what do they say? They very clearly define Maya as anadi. You know, we cannot go against the scriptures anywhere. So Maya is defined as anadi, so we cannot attribute a beginning for that. And if you say Maya has a beginning, then we will ask, what is the cause of that Maya? Maya, if it's a product, then what is the cause of karanam? If there is a cause, then we will ask, is it endowed with parts or not? We will ask the same question to the cause. This discussion will continue and will go into infinite regress. We cannot stop anywhere. Keep on going. So, since Maya being anadi, we cannot say it is an assemblage. To solve the problem, then we should say that Maya is not endowed with parts. Only when you say Maya is endowed with parts, all these problems come. Now, let us safely say Maya is not endowed with parts. Then what will happen? In that case, we cannot explain the different features of the universe. Trigunatmika, we already saw, it is endowed with all the three gunas. We saw the three features in the last webinar. One feature corresponding to the knowledge faculty, another feature corresponding to the activity faculty, and another corresponding to the inertia faculty, if you remember all these from the last class, last webinar. So, corresponding to the three distinct faculties in creation, Maya also should have the three different potentials. If Maya does not have parts, then the three different separate potentials known as Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So, if we say Maya is without parts, then we cannot explain creation. If we say it is with parts, we cannot explain the fact that it is anadi. You see how the dichotomy comes? If you say it is without parts, we cannot explain creation. If we say it is with parts, then we cannot explain that we cannot, you know, it's a fact, it's anadi, we cannot dispute that. Then if we say, why not mixture? For that also, we have the good old answer, they being opposite attributes, one cannot say it is a mixture also. Therefore, it is Sanga, Ananga, Mishra, Vilakshanam. Sanga, Ananga, Mishra, Vilakshanam. So, Shankaracharya says, Sangapino, not with parts, Anangapino, cannot be said to be without parts, and Ubayatmikapi, no. It cannot be a mixture of both also. So, it is Sanga, Ananga, Ubaya, Vilakshanam. Binna, Abhinna, Vilakshanam also. So, it is supposed to be not with parts and without parts. So, in the entire creation, I see in the Sat, Asat, Ubaya, Vilakshanam, that is the fact. And category that the intellect will try to make is what? Vedanta will say, Maya is different. Then if one asks the question, what is it you will accept? Because you are not saying it's Sat, you are not saying Asat, you are not saying Binna, you are not saying Abhinna, you are not saying Mixture, you are not saying Sangha, you are not saying Ananga, then what is it you will accept at all? Then Shankaracharya says, Mahadbhuta. It is the greatest wonder. It says, that is what we can say about Maya. It is not this, it is not that, it is the greatest wonder, which we experience every moment. That is the beauty. We experience Maya every moment, because anything in creation is a product of this Maya only. So every moment we experience Maya, but we are not able to intellectually comprehend Maya, categorize or pinpoint what is Maya. That is the beauty. That is why the scientists also have put forth so many principles, and later to negate them also. And the one principle they are certain about is the uncertainty principle. All other principles they go on, proposing, negating all that, but the uncertainty principle they are very sure about it. Uncertainty principle indicating what? The more you probe into the creation, whether it is micro or macrocosmic research, the more we will find that it is uncategorizable. That is the ultimate finding. Therefore, what is it called? It is called Anirvachaniya Rupa. Inexplicable. Anirvachaniyam. Which cannot be comprehended by intellect. That is the definition of Maya. The same thing we will feel when we come out of a magic show also. When you go to a magic show, so many things they happen in the magic show. You cannot believe, but at the same time it is happening in front of you. So you are seeing all the things, your experience is different. But when you think how it is possible, that is very different. So it is a magic show. So the magician will enter into a box right in front of our eyes. And after some time, he will come from far behind in the room, from the audience. We all experience it, but we cannot explain it. That is called miniature Maya, the Jiva Maya, whereas the whole Prapancha is called the Maxi Maya or the Ishwara Maya. Vishwamaya it is. Shloka 110. Shuddhadvaya Brahma Vibhodanashya Sarpa Brahmo Raju Vivekato Yatha Rajastama Sattvamiti Prasiddha Gunastadhiya Pratitai Swakaryaihi. So in this shloka, Shankaracharya explains the meaning of the word avidya. So Maya discussion is over. Now he is giving the meaning of the word avidya. Previous shloka explained Maya. So avidya here. And we have seen that the word avidya has got two meanings. When we explained in the shloka 108, we spoke about this thing in some detail. One meaning is what? That which is not independently existent is called avidya. And the second meaning is closely connected to the first meaning given here, that which is negated by vidya is avidya. So vidya nashya. The one vidya nashya means the one that is negated by vidya, knowledge. And everything that does not have independent existence, we all call them, that is all negated in the wake of knowledge. Anything. So let me explain now. We said earlier that any product can be called Maya. In the previous, and can be called avidya. in the previous discussion. For example, we said, we took the example of a desk. A desk can be called avidya. Why? Because there is no such thing called desk existing independent of wood. So, swayam na vidyate iti avidya jadavate. Because of this reason only, until I probe into the nature of the desk, I keep on saying there is desk. The moment I try to understand what is desk and how did it arrive, if I arrive at the discussion and at the end I go to the wood. I know that there is wood alone here. Desk is only a name and form, nama rupa. It does not exist as a substance, has only a verbal nominal existence. Actually, in Hindi, there is a beautiful usage, naam ke vaste existence. That's what Swamiji says. So, we talked about, we can talk about its height, we can talk about its weight, color, thinking it as a substance. But in reality, in the wake of wisdom, we know there is no substance called desk, but there is only one substance called wood. It is only a sound produced by the tongue. The Upanishad says, Vacharambanam Vikaro Namadeyam. That is how it is called. Vacharambanam. It is only a sound produced by the tongue. There is no such thing called a desk. This wisdom, this understanding is called the negation of desk. That is understanding that there is no substance called a desk. So, for the moment we know wood, desk will stop to be a substance. Till that time, we will think desk is a substance. The moment we know wood, desk will stop to be a substance. Therefore, desk is called wood jnana nashyam. Wood jnana nashyam means desk is negated in the knowledge of wood. Ornaments are negated in the knowledge of gold. So, building is negated in the knowledge of bricks. Cloth is negated in the knowledge of the thread. Therefore, all these are knowledge negated. So, they are called avidya. A means negated. Avidya, a negated. And baditam, vidya is knowledge. Therefore, according to Vedanta, desk is avidya. Ocean is avidya. This computer is avidya. In fact, any product is avidya, because it is negated once we know the substance behind the product. And ultimately speaking, the whole creation is avidya. And therefore, Maya, which is the juice of the creation, is also called avidya. Vidya nashya iti avidya. That which is negated in the wake of knowledge, that is called avidya. And what is the first meaning? That which does not have independent existence is called avidya, and that which is negated by knowledge is called avidya. These are the two meanings. That is, desk loses its existence by what? By knowledge of wood. So, vidya nashyatvat avidya. So, the world is avidya, the essence of the world is maya, and so is avidya. Only thing we need to know is what? Avidya is at the vyashti level. At the individual level, it is avidya, and maya is at the samashti level, at the total level. Even though Shankaracharya does not differentiate them in these discussions of karana shariram, we already saw that in the beginning. In the karana shariram, when everything is in the dormant, potent form, you cannot differentiate the vyashti and the samashti. Even though they are all there, you cannot differentiate them, because they cannot be differentiated in the karana potent form. So, Shankaracharya doesn't differentiate them there. That doesn't mean that they don't exist separately. So, maya is the samashti level. So, we can also say that karana avastha is called avidya. Karana avastha, the causal, the dormant form, is called avidya, maya, avyaktam, shakti, all those names we saw in the previous sloka and the last webinar. All these four, they refer to the potential state of matter. They have nothing to do with Brahman, in which the entire universe, our body, mind, complex, they are all included in this avastha. And this maya matter is negated in the wake of consciousness. Brahma vidya nashya Maya. So by getting the Brahman knowledge, Maya is again negated. So there is this Upanishad called Swetasvatara Upanishad that says Bhuyas Yante Vishwamaya Nivrittihi. So the moment you in the wake of knowledge of Brahman, this Vishwamaya, that Maya Nivrittihi, it is negated, it is gone. So in this shloka he says, Shuddha Advaya Brahma Vibodha Nasya. Shuddha Advaya Brahma Vibodha Nasya. That's what he says. And again, Vibodha. Vibodha means clear knowledge. Vibodha is clear knowledge. Clear knowledge of what? The consciousness principle as the content or stuff of matter. That is the only substance. And what type of Brahma? Shuddham Brahma. That which is pure, without any samsara in it. And Advaya, how many consciousness are there? There is no plural for consciousness. It appears to be many because of the medium in which it manifests. According to Shastras, brain does not produce consciousness. It is only a medium for the manifestation of consciousness. So manifestations can be many, but consciousness is Advayam. And this Shuddha Advaya Brahma Vibhoda, that means Brahma Jnanam. And through that Brahma Jnanam, Nashya. What is Nashya? Maya or Avidya or Shakti or Avyayam or basic matter. All these are synonymous names. That's why I am repeating them many times. And through that Brahma Jnanam, Nashya. And so Vidya Nashyatvas Nashyatvat Avidya. Ityuchate. This is called Avidya because Vidya Nashyatvat. It is negated by Vidya. So how can I understand this? How can anything be destroyed by knowledge? Because that's a very critical question. For example, knowing the desk means what? To destroy the desk. It will be terrible then. If I know something, that means I am destroying that thing. So Shankaracharya says, Sarpa Brahmaha Rajju Vivekataha Yatha. Sarpa Brahmaha Rajju Vivekataha Yatha means just as the knowledge of the rope, Rajju, Rajju is rope. That's just as the knowledge of the rope destroys the snake, which had seeming existence. We confuse the rope to be snake. So during the confusion, the snake existed seemingly. It's not real existence. But with the knowledge of the rope, that destroys the snake, which had a seeming existence. So until we know the rope, snake is really existent for me. I think it exists. The better example is actually the dream world. Actually, Vedanta, they always quote the dream world. After waking up, I may brush aside the dream. But while I am in the dream, it is solidly, tangibly, frighteningly, nightmarishly real. When I am dreaming, everything is real. I think so. And when I wake up and know, I am the waker. So, waker jnanena dream nashaha. The dream gets destroyed by waker jnanam. So, the issues of dream is borrowed from where? From the waker. The isness of the isness of the of dream is borrowed from the waker only, right? And the isness of snake is borrowed from whom? From the rope. So the isness of matter is borrowed from consciousness. So the consciousness jnanena, matter loses its isness, its existence principle. This is called wisdom. So as we saw again in the Dakshinamurti Stotram, yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakam asat kalpartakam bhasate sakshat tattvamasiti veda vachasa yobodha yatyashritan. So that is the essence here. Yatha. Yatha means just as. Rajju vivekataha. Through the rope knowledge. Rajju is rope. Rajju vivekataha. Through the rope knowledge. Sarpa brahmaha. That seeming snake falsely understood, that is destroyed. With this, the explanation of Maya is also over. In Shloka 109. So, the way the sarpa, the seeming existence of the snake is destroyed by the knowledge of rope. And explanation of avidya is over in the first two lines of this shloka. So,
In Shloka 109, the description of Maya is over. And Shloka 110, description of Avidya is over. Now the Acharya wants to explain the word Trigunatmika, which we saw in Shloka 108. In fact, we can take Shloka 108, which we saw in the last webinar, as the Pratignya Shloka or Samkshepa Shloka or Nutshell Shloka, we can call it. And therefore, the author will elaborate each one of the terms subsequently. This is the methodology used in Shastras. Not only in Shastras, actually even if you hear the news in India many times, they will say first, they will give the headlines. And then later, the rest of the news will be just only elaboration of the headlines. This is called Sutra Shloka, presenting the condensed version, that is Shloka 108. And Vritti Shloka is the elaboration. In the Gita, if you take Bhagavad Gita, Ashochya, Nanvashochyastvam, Pragnyavadamsya Bhashase, Gedasu Nagatasumsyam, Nanushochyanti Panditaha. That is considered to be the Sutra Shloka. And later on, the entire thing explains that. And rest of the shlokas, they are called Vritti. Similarly, in Taittiriya Upanishad also, Satyam Jnanamanantam Brahma, Yovedanihitam Guhayam Paramevyoman. That is the Sutra Mantra, and the rest of the Upanishads, it is called Vritti Mantra. It is only elaboration of whatever is given in the Sutra Mantra. So the word Trigunatmika in Shloka 108, second line, what does it mean? That means Maya has got three faculties or features about which we have mentioned briefly at that time. So now we can see it in some detail here. The sattva feature corresponding to the knowledge faculty, the knowing faculty in creation. That is a sattva feature. And the rajas feature corresponding to the activity feature, and the tamas feature corresponding to the inertia feature of creation. And what is the definition of inertia again? That which has neither knowledge nor activity. We saw them briefly at that time. The desk does not know or do anything. For example, if we take desk, it does not do or do anything. So, jnana shakti hi api nasti, kriya shakti hi api nasti. Absence of both is called Dravya Shakti, we gave this name in the last webinar, Tamas Shakti or Inertia Faculty. It's called a Dravya Shakti. And about these three Shaktis, more details are going to be given in the following shlokas. Now, if you look at the third and fourth lines of this shloka, Tadiyaha Gunaha Prasiddha. Tadiya means belonging to Maya. Maya the Gunaha. Gunaha the Gunas. All the Gunas. We cannot accurately translate the word guna. If it, you know, it does not mean either quality or property. It is a technical word, and we will keep it as such. The best way to deal with it is to treat guna as guna. So the gunas of Maya are well known. Prasiddhaha. Prasiddhaha means well known. As what? Rajaha, tamaha, sattvam iti prasiddhaha. They are called rajoguna, tamoguna and sattvaguna. Normally, we enumerate them as what? Sattva, Rajas, Tamo, Gunaha. Normally, we say Sattva, Guna first and then Rajas and Tama. But here, the Acharya has reversed it, Sattva and Rajas. Not only he reverses the order here, later in the explanation also, he explains them in the same order. First Rajas and then Sattva. Perhaps he feels we know Tamas and Rajas very well through our own experiences perhaps. And how do we know that Maya has got the three Gunas? Right? That is another question. We mentioned this in the last webinar itself. Maya itself is invisible and imperceptible. Basic matter or energy is invisible. Then how can we know its gunas? Shankaracharya gives the answer. Swakaryaihi pratitaihi. Swakaryaihi pratitaihi. The three features of Maya are inferred. They are not perceived. They are inferred through what? Through its products. Fortunately, the products of Maya, they are all visible. And what are that? Anything that we see, the entire creation is Maya Karyam only. And in this entire creation, I see three features, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Dravya Shakti. Dravya Shakti is a word used in Bhagavatam actually, inertia. If these three faculties are in the effect, then they should be there in the cause also. If they are in the karyam, they should be in the karanam also. Just as the children's faculties are genetically derived from the parents. They say, if the parents have high sugar, cholesterol, then they will say, stop eating all those foods rich in those things. Automatically, they will ask you to stop all of them. So much of regulation. We have this disposition because there is a family history. So, pratitaihi swakaryaihi. Pratitam means well-known, well-experienced. So, through the well-experienced features of Maya, Maya's products, Maya's features are inferred. Through the well-experienced features of Maya's products, Maya's features are inferred. Continuing the next shloka, shloka 111. Viveka shakti rajasa kriyatmika yata pravritti prasruta purani ragadayosya prabhavanti nityam dukkadayoye manaso vikaraha. So the Acharya has enumerated the three gunas, rajoguna, tamoguna, and so rajas, tama, sattvam iti prasiddhaha. Now each guna is being elaborated by the Acharya. First he has taken up rajoguna of what? Of Maya. We should not lose track of it. We should remember Maya or Karana Shariram or Karana Prapancha. That has got three gunas. There may be differences only in the proportions and not in existence. All three exist. There can be difference in the proportions. According to Vedanta, even in the most inert matter, like a stone, sattva-guna and rajoguna also are there, but so insignificantly, so infinitesimal, and tamoguna overpowers in them. And as we go further into creation, the rajoguna is more evident than sattva-guna. When we go to, for example, the plants and all, when you go to animals, more jnana shakti and kriya shakti. And when we come to humans, we have maximum jnana shakti and kriya shakti. And again, among human beings also, there are proportions. For one student, you need to teach only once. For somebody, you may have to teach 5-6 times and still they don't know. If for apple, you have to still start in the next class. So at Maya level, the three gunas are in equilibrium. Whereas at the product level, they are in various proportions. Of these, what is the expression of rajoguna? He says, rajasaha kriyatmika vikshepa shaktihi vartate. Rajoguna has got the capacity to project or to activate. Literally, vikshepa means throwing, pushing, projecting or disturbing. At the projection, it can be at two levels. At the mental level, projection means lot of imagination, lot of thoughts, thought projection. And at the physical level, when you say vikshepa, it is action. Body becomes active. So, rajasaha vikshepa shaktihi vartate. Rajoguna has got the throwing power, which is kriyatmika. It is in the form of activity. Therefore, what happens? Yataha. Because of this activity, faculty, disturbing faculty, which expresses in the form of activity, what happens? Vrittihi prasrutaha. All type of functions, vrittihi, activities, creation activity, both at the total level, samashti level and at vesti level, they all originate. At the samashti level, what is the pravritti there? Akashaha sambhutaha. At the total level, first came what? Akasha. Akashat vayuhu, some disturbance happened. Scientists call it a big bang and all those. Vedanta calls it as a small disturbance in the equilibrium of rajoguna. So with a small disturbance in the equilibrium of rajoguna, what happened? Akasha is born. Akashat vayuhu, vayor agnihi, agni rapaha, adhya prithivi, prithivya oshadayaha, oshadibhyonnam, annat purushaha. That is how we all came. We all came into being from Annam Purushaha. And if we had kept quiet after having been born as human beings, if we just kept quiet, nothing would have come at all. Because like, as in deep sleep, nothing has happened. But we wake up, that means what? The moment we wake up from tamoguna after sleep, rajoguna comes. The moment you wake up, what it does? It looks for coffee. So all those things, activities start the moment you wake up. So, the pushing power of rajoguna, it brings out activity in the totality as well as in the individual. So, pravrittihi prasrutaha, all activities, they all originate. And when did it start? Purani, which is beginningless, are the most ancient one. It's a cyclic process. Srishti kale eva, it has come. From this angle alone, the Lord is called Brahma. Rajaha pradanaha Brahma uses rajas to create. Brahmaji uses the rajoguna to create activity. Sattva pradanaha Vishnuhu. Vishnu is sattva pradanaha. And tama pradanaha Shivaha. So Lord Shiva handles tamoguna. We should be careful. He handles tamoguna to fold back the universe. But he is not tamasic. Shiva is not tamasic. But he handles the tamoguna to fold back the universe, the lion. And so Purani Pravrittihi, the most ancient creative activity arose through Rajoguna. This is at the Samashti level, total level. And what happens at the individual level? He says, Asyaha Ragadayaha Prabhavanti. Once Rajoguna is active in the mind, desire comes into the mind. Why should I sit quiet? Because you are sitting, once the activity comes, he says, why should I sit quiet now? I want this, I want that. Then desire produces activity. I want to go, earn more. Even after retirement, they are all worried how to spend time. So let me work even more. Sitting quiet becomes a nightmare for a lot of people. This is called Rajasic tendency. The entire 14th chapter of Gita specializes on all these three gunas. Gunatraya, Vibhaga, Yogaha. So Asyaha. Asyaha means Vikshepa Shaktehe, that is called, and Sakasat. So this is Panjami Vyakti. From this Vikshepa Shakti, Raga Deyaha Prabhavanti. Raga includes Dvesha also. When you talk about Raga, Dvesha included. So Raga leads to Pravritti and Dvesha leads to Nivritti. Either going towards or going away. So Asyaha Vikshepa Shaktehe Ragadayaha Prabhavanti. Arise, what are the things that comes? Raga, Dvesha, Kama, Krodha, Loba, Moha, Mada, Matsaryadi. All those things they come. When? Nityam. Constantly they come. Project after project after project I take till death. Keep on working, active. And naturally what will be the consequence then? Dukkadayaha. Dukkam is inevitable. Because how? Krishna said, Kamayesha, Krodhayesha, Rajoguna Samudbhavaha, Mahashano Mahapapma, Vidyenamiha Vairinam. That's what Krishna said. So, Dvesha itself is the direct cause for sorrow. Raga is the indirect cause for sorrow. For example, if the object desired is not accomplished, then there is sorrow. If it is accomplished, what happens? I worry about preserving them. Or I become greedy, I want more. And when it is lost, I have dukkha. So, and all these are what? Manaso vikaraha. All these are thought modifications. Vikaras are modifications in the mind. They are born out of rajoguna. So, indirectly, Shankaracharya says, predominance of rajoguna is not very good. We don't say, it should not be there at all. Because even walking, eating, they all require rajoguna. Vedanta does not condemn Rajoguna, it only says predominance of Rajoguna is a problem. Sloka 112. Dharmo yete rajasapum pravrittihi yasma desha tadrajo tadrajo bandahetuhu. Here the Acharya gives further details of Rajoguna. In the previous sloka he said, generally, they produce raga. That's what he said. Sorrow and all that. And Shankaracharya, he knows, we may not know, perhaps he knows, that he himself explains what is all this, the etc. He has put, you know, all this, adayaha. So the etc. He is now trying to explain all of them. Kamaha, krodaha, lobaha, dambaha, asuya, ahankaraha, irshya, matsaraha, all those things he is explaining. We can understand the meaning for most of them in this shloka. Desire, kama has desire, krodha, anger, loba, greed. Dambaha means the pomp and show. There's in Gita, amanitvam, adambitvam. Shankaracharya defines damba as dharma dvajitvam, he says. Dvaja means, dvajitvam is, dvajaha means flag. So it is the show. They show the presence of someone, they have got the flag. You know, on a chariot, they have flag. So it shows. So like a flag, this person keeps on high all the so-called good things that what he has done. He goes on telling. He advertises here and there. And I built this school, I built that. He wants the press to be around all the time. So according to Shastras, whatever noble things one does, you should never declare. The moment one declares, the punyam gets neutralized. Even if someone asks, just brush it aside. Not any big thing I have done. It's not some small thing. That's all. So just brush it. Because the sankalpa to do it and the ability to do it, both are themselves the product of punyam. Sukritam only. And if somebody goes after all this recognition and all, for example, you know, I tell this everywhere. They put a tube light in a temple in our back home, and around the entire tube light, the entire name, address, phone number of the person who gave the donation, it is all written. To so much extent that you cannot even see the light. So this, the moment we go for all these recognitions and name and all that thing, that neutralizes the punyam, the adrishta palam. So that goes away. So the ability to give and the mind to give, they themselves are sukritam, the greatest recognition. So like, so this person, so even if someone asks, just brush aside. Whereas when rajoguna is there, that show will automatically come. It is called ostentatiousness. Then there is a reading, difference also, different reading in another books. So dambad asuya is there, but there is a better reading is called dambha bhyasuya. That is, instead of dhya, we could put bhya. So bhya, which should be read as what? Abhyasuya. So this is called asuya, abhyasuya. So adhyasuya, this is abhyasuya, which is the same as asuya. And asuya is defined as guneshu dosha avishkaranam asuya. That is how it is defined. Criticizing the good deeds of others, guneshu dosha avishkaranam. Avishkaranam is criticizing. Even if someone donates something, then all these guys, what they will say, that is for name and fame only he donated. Or they will say, oh, I know where he got the money from. So all these kinds of things, people make remarks. So even if someone teaches Shastras, he may be teaching Vedanta, whatever it is, they will say, oh, he is doing it all for getting more Sishyas, so that he will have more recognition and all. When I don't know what attitude the other person has got, I should keep quiet and have no right to talk about another person's attitude. I should keep quiet because the attitude is invisible. Rajoguna will interpret even a good attitude as a bad one. So, abhyasuya, misinterpreting even the good intention negatively. This is called guneshu dosha avishkaranam. Seeing the goodness as bad. So, in Tamil, asuya is often translated as jealousy. For people who are Tamil people, it is translated as jealousy, but really it is criticism. It is fault finding. It is misinterpreting, which Krishna considers as a very big obstacle for self-knowledge. He says one of the good qualities one should have is anasuya, without this quality. Especially when one reads scriptures, the attitude should be a healthy attitude. There may be some portions which may not be understood, or they may be exaggerated. For example, like in a cartoon, they may put a nose. They may draw a nose, and the nose can be very long. Nobody can have such a long nose. They will put it so big for some characters. Many of the stories in Puranas are like the cartoons only, to some extent. Essentially to tell that there is nothing which is absolutely right or wrong, or there is nothing which is considered absolutely dharmic or adharmic also. We can see wonderful traits in Duryodhana, in Karna, in Ravana also. And we can see something wrong in Dharmaputra also in the scriptures. God alone is absolute. Swami Dayananda says, this is important from psychological point of view also. People should have this knowledge. Because initially when the scriptures say that Dharmaputra is good and Duryodhana is bad, what we think? We get an absolute idea. We develop an idealism. I want to be very good. But if I want to be absolutely good, it is not going to work. And when it doesn't, then people might get upset. What we say is what? No one can absolutely avoid raga, dvesha and kama, krodha and all that. Let us not be too idealistic at all. Let us grow, let us enjoy, let us grow. Let us try to be as much sattvic as possible. How do we teach that? So our Puranas, what they did? By showing that Dharmaputra, who is supposed to be the embodiment of Dharma himself, could not be absolutely good. That is why all psychologists, they like our scriptures. Since they show Rama, Krishna, they also have some controversial things. Can Rama do that? Can Krishna do that? It is just to show that in creation, there is nothing called ideally good and correct. Who is great? Is Kumbhakarna great or Vibhishana great? One can argue either way. So in our family situations also, no one can say this is it or that is it. Learn the facts. Try to be as unselfish as possible and make a decision. Swamiji gives the example of driving. When one learns driving, all traffic positions have to be taught. One has to be essentially in driving school only forever if he has to learn all the traffic positions. Very difficult. Some norms, some examples are given. Based on that, one has to use one's own discretion and learn and drive. Scriptures only teach certain broad norms with some examples. Then I have to use my discretion with association with other good people and all that. If we don't have that attitude, then what we do? We become judgmental. We will get nowhere. And that attitude is called anasuya. Not to be judgmental, not to be misrepresenting. So these are some of the qualities that are discussed here in this shloka, and more qualities we are going to talk in the same shloka in the next webinar. Yo veda dosvara prokto vedante cha pratishthitah tasya prakriti leenasya parasamaheshwarah sri krishna arpanam.